You're listening to Tim Talks, Taking Interest in Ministry, a conversation between two great friends with over 70 years of ministry between them. Ministering on opposite sides of the border, Dr. Al Stone is the General Director of Bearing Precious Seed Canada and Pastor Emeritus of the Bible Baptist Church in St. Thomas, Ontario, Canada, while Pastor Dan Wolven pastors the North Columbus Baptist Church in Columbus, Ohio. Listen now as Al and Dan review and relate their experiences in hopes of helping others who are taking an interest in ministry. Now, here is Tim Talks.
Welcome to Tim Talks. Let me give you a little extra Monday slurpage. Just because it's Monday, you're going through the weekend, the devil's going to fight us. We have a spiritual warfare on Sundays, and Mondays, you just need a little extra.
No, that was a quarantine sip. That's what that was.
It was a quarantine sip.
You have nothing else to do, so
that's right. I
might as well make a double sip.
Got to fill my time. I'm not supposed to go to Tim Hortons and get a coffee.
That's right. You're not supposed to.
I don't know how I got this one. I don't know how it got here. It's a gift. I put out a fleece, and in the morning, the cup was full and wet.
You said to ring the fleece out into a cup.
That's right. That's how God works here in Ontario in the quarantine.
Tim Hortons manna.
Do you think it's bad that I'm not praying for our premier anymore? That I've given up on him?
That depends how you're praying. My wife's praying for our president. Let me just leave it with that.
And he's still alive. Oh, my goodness. Sometimes I wish I was the Old Testament prophet. I could just march into his office and say, hey, I got a message for you from the Lord. You're a jerk. But kids, we do pray for our leadership. And yeah, we ask that God uses them in his perfect will and that they'll submit to that. That's the answer. So,
amen.
And that's what we do pray. We're kidding around, of course. You guys know that.
Yeah.
Well, good weekend. Let me take another sip of coffee and start over.
Yes. Good weekend.
Good.
It's always good when you get to preach.
Let's be good in the house of the Lord. Yeah, unfortunately, I was in quarantine. So.
Well, Denise and I just got back from going to a wedding for a very special friend.
Oh, nice. Yeah,
and Carol Cook, our dear friend, just got back. She just got married this past weekend.
Awesome.
So made the trip to Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Yeah. Were you guys in the wedding or just observing?
No, just we were just there.
Nice.
Yeah,
nice, nice.
Very nice.
Carol's a great lady. We've talked about her husband, first husband, Dave, many, many times on here. And hopefully she got a good husband this time.
Amen. No, he seems like a good guy.
Kidding, I'm kidding. Dave was a great guy. Yeah, that's awesome. That's neat. I just met a gentleman, and actually two gentlemen. That one's 54, the other one's I think 68, and they said, "Hey, I'm looking for a wife." So I said, "I'm on it. Bee Harmony is on it." So there are some folks out there that a little bit later in life get married, and I think that's great. And it's great companionship, and they both love the Lord, want to serve the Lord.
Amen.
That's a great thing. So, all right. Well, we mentioned last week that.
Okay, Mr. Heavy.
I'm a little heavy.
Yep.
I'm not heavy. I'm your brother. Oh, I was going to say something last week, too, and I forgot. You got going, and I forgot what I was going to say. This is a little off topic from last week, but when people come to you and they want help all the time, you know what I do now? I say, I'm going to text you a YouTube link, and that guy's going to help you. There's a great series on what you need on YouTube. They'll help you. They got all the time in the world. You can play it as much as you want. So, and then when you get sick of that, come back and see me. So, not true, but I thought it might be a good idea. So, here's the heavy. Okay, so this came in from a listener. All right, just found out a friend of mine has left her husband and immediately left the state to live with her new boyfriend. First question. What are warning signs, or how do you prevent this from happening? You know, seeing it mm-hmm. develop, that's good. And then secondly, from a pastoral standpoint, how do you go about trying to reconcile and repair marriages after this? Great question.
Yeah.
That's some heavy duty. So I'm sure we'll yuck it up at some point, but first of all, our heart is broken that somebody has to go through this.
Yes.
I have to say, this is becoming more and more common And it's sad. Women leaving their husbands. That was not big when I was a kid. If there was a problem in a marriage, it was usually the man leaving the wife. But more and more ladies are leaving their husbands. And more and more ladies are getting involved in activities. And I'll just say, there are more women being involved in sexual things, pornography. That's part of it. I think in our society today, that women have become more open to being more sensual, which was different from my day as a kid. I think ladies will dress a little more provocatively sometimes today than when I was a kid. So it's, and I'm not saying all, please don't attack. I'm not saying that that's necessarily Christian ladies, but it can be. So that's part of the problem. So let me ask you, let's start with...
Let's do the second part first, because we've got a lot that we can deal with as far as warning signs.
Okay. You want to do that first? Okay.
Yeah. All right. Now, every repair is going to be unique to those situations. Mm-hmm. And so I couldn't really get into many specifics other than, and as we talk about this here, we could probably take 2 days on that first part.
Yes.
But, you know, repairing something, first of all, both of them have to commit to repairing.
Yes.
Without it, it's not going to be. Mm-hmm. You know, one interested party is not going to keep a marriage together.
Right.
You know, now we know there's three parties. I mean, it's mm-hmm. the Lord mm-hmm. and two people. So it's getting the two people to agree with the Lord. And if there's no commitment, because I've done that, I've said, how serious is this something you are making a commitment to? Are you committing yourself to doing this? And so without that commitment, we're done. We're going to pray, and we'll try to help. But, you know, it's not going to happen. So mm-hmm. that's – first of all, there's got to be a commitment. You cannot repair a marriage just because one side wants to.
Yeah. Do you ever give people a time frame, like – okay, let's say this guy comes to you, and we don't know who it is, but this guy comes to you and he says, my wife has left. I want to reconcile our marriage. I want to get this taken care of. Do you ever tell them this is going to take a certain amount of time? Like, I think most people want to reconcile it within a couple days or weeks, and I will tell people, now, be prepared. This may take a year.
Oh, yeah.
Or 2 years.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you have to look at that.
Yeah.
And just because one party comes and says, I want to reconcile, mm-hmm. I mean, what you do is you're dealing with a crisis for the one party.
Right.
And you're trying to give healing and strength mm-hmm. and wisdom mm-hmm. to the one party who's going to wait for that second party to come to their
right.
understanding of that they should reconcile.
Yeah. Do you think it's I don't know how to word this. I want to say more difficult, but with this lady having already left with someone else, what are the chances of that being reconciled? What percentage of a chance would you say? And again, everything's individual, but just on a kind of on a broader
scale.
Oh man,
I wouldn't even go there. Mm-hmm. I would emphasize God specializing in bringing dead things back to life.
Mm-hmm.
That's what God does. Mm-hmm. God brings dead things back to life.
Right, right.
And so that's what you got to think about.
Yeah.
But without God, it won't happen.
Right. She has to, and again, only for this example, you know, guys leave too, so you can use it either way. But first of all, you have to be able to contact this woman, and you have to be able to plead your case with this woman as a counselor. If she will even answer, if she will even consider that, if she's already involved with another person, wow, the chances are definitely much more slim. I'll say that. Nothing is impossible. She may get, you know, away and realize that this guy's just as rotten as the other guy and all guys are the same. Every man marries the same woman. Every woman marries the same man. So she might realize that I've got nothing better. Maybe a conviction of the Holy Spirit. maybe she gets away and realizes, hey, I'm a Christian and I shouldn't be doing this. Mm-hmm. But just in a first glance of this, I would say to this guy, the chances of reconciling this marriage are really, really low. But if you'll work with me and if you'll stay with me, if nothing else, we can get you to a place where you'll be able to go on from this. You won't be devastated from this. And that's what I would probably say to that guy first, just to—
Yeah, because you're not working on reconciling anything.
Right.
You're working on trying to give somebody healing.
Right. I think it was my father-in-law told me years ago, he said, and I don't know if it's still true today or not, I would think so, but I think women are a little more apt to forgive a man for having an affair than most men are for their wife having an affair. There's something in the male makeup that is absolutely crushed. And I'm not saying, ladies, that it doesn't happen to ladies. I understand it's the same. But as a man, if I knew my wife cheated on me, I don't know. That's a hard one. And not that ladies should accept that I don't know. There's just something a little bit different there. Would you agree with that, or do you think I'm way off on that one?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I would think in many instances that may be, but I don't even like emphasizing on the negative.
Right.
You know, it's just thinking of what God can do.
Right.
So if you get two people that want to commit, then you deal with forgiveness, you deal with thought life, mm-hmm. and then you deal with marriage counseling mm-hmm. in a general way. Mm-hmm. You're talking about a year.
Yeah. You,
truly.
Oh, yeah.
You know, a consistent pattern of meeting, you know, maybe the first times it's every week for 6 or 8 weeks, and then it's every other week for maybe 2-3 months. Then maybe you can get to the point where it's once every 3 weeks and maybe once a month. But, you know, a consistency of working on different areas mm-hmm. and because God can give healing quicker. Really, if both parties are wanting to mm-hmm. get in agreement with God.
Mm-hmm. I often ask people this, how long has this been coming? How long have you struggled? How long has your marriage been off? And oftentimes they'll say, well, the last couple years. And I'll tell them, here's the deal. However long it took for this to come about to this point, it's probably going to be the amount of time needed to restore you back to where you were in a good place. And that can be a long period of time. And sadly, a lot of people will just give up and they'll say, well, you know, fine, then I'm not going to work at it. Well, that tells me something right there. Mm-hmm. And I've had couples, I had a couple that I worked with for over 20 years and they had marital problems. I was at their house at least once every couple months trying to hold the marriage together, trying to work through it. And they'd work through it and they'd be great. And then, you know, a couple months later, we're getting divorced. And sadly, one day their son came in and said, yeah, my mom and dad are getting divorced, and told one of our staff members. And I said, oh, don't worry. They say that all the time. It's not going to happen. They say it all the time. Well, they did. Mm. They separated, and within 2 weeks of being separated, the wife was seeing someone else. I mean, these were people that are in our church. They were active in our church, and she's seeing someone else that quick. And I thought, oh, my goodness. Wow. I didn't see that one coming. And I thought I'll get with them. We'll go through it again. We'll patch it up. Didn't happen. And so very quickly. So there are a lot of people that I think in their mind have already left the marriage.
Oh, yes.
You know, before they get there.
Oh, yes.
And that's, you know, for this woman, not knowing who she is, she's already had an involvement with this guy. It just got to the point where she could make that break. So that's a big part of it. And if you're asking about, you know, reconciling.
So is there a point where you would advise mm-hmm. not to reconcile?
Hmm. I do tell people this. I've never counseled to divorce. I've never done that. I have counseled to separate.
Yes.
And I've told some couples, you need to separate for a time. Let's get you right, sir, and let's get you right, ma'am. Then we'll bring you back together. Because as long as one is not living for the Lord, they are never going to be on the same plane. Use the old triangle effect. You have a man down at the bottom left corner, a lady down at the right-hand bottom corner, and the goal is to reach to the top to God. If they move together, they get closer together to each other as they get closer to God. if the man doesn't move and the lady moves closer, they're the same distance apart. So you've got to get both separated in that right mind. Now, here's the problem in this situation is getting that lady to leave that other guy that she's already fallen in love with or given herself to, that's going to be really rough. That's going to be tough to do, for sure.
I just don't think we get them to. You know, I mean, it just, you pray that the Lord changes their heart. Mm-hmm. I just don't think it's something that we can do. Mm-hmm. So I would say there's one area, and this may be a whole nother topic, but the Bible says that God in Jeremiah said it was an abomination if a couple were married, mm-hmm. got divorced and remarried, then got divorced and right. married each other
right.
again.
Right.
The Bible says mm-hmm. that's an abomination.
Right.
So I believe it would be scriptural to say you cannot reconcile if that other person marries.
Right. Right. I agree with that.
Yeah.
I agree with that. Now, what about this? This woman's obviously involved in an adulterous affair. She's given herself to this other man. Can that be reconciled? Yeah, it can be. Is that going to leave a permanent mark? Yeah, I think so. I think that's always going to be something. If you were counseling these folks, what would be the way that you would try and reconcile them?
Like I said, forgiveness.
Right.
You got to deal with the forgiveness.
Right.
And you got to deal with the thorough forgiveness. You have to deal with next your thought life, because the things you're going to think about each other is why you separate in the first place. Mm-hmm. And, you know, consistent working at this relationship in a spiritual manner.
Okay.
But it's absolutely possible, because I would go to the book of Hosea.
Yeah.
You know, that happened in Hosea's life. Mm-hmm. God commanded Hosea, a holy man, to marry a harlot.
Mm-hmm.
She eventually, after children, yep. she left him, went back into her old ways, mm-hmm. and he literally paid for her while she was apart from him, mm-hmm. provided for her, paid her bills while she was apart from him, then being sold as a slave for debts, bought her back and took her home.
Mm-hmm.
So, and all of those things he did was a picture of what God has done with us.
Right.
So, yes, it can be done. Yes, it can be even stronger than ever. And yes, it's going to take the power of God.
Let me ask you then, so with this woman, do you go to her and say, hey, listen, your husband wants to reconcile. I want to help you with that. Number one, are you willing, right? And if she says, no, I'm not willing, are you done at that point?
I'm done until she's willing.
Okay. She says, okay, I'm prepared to do that.
She's in another state, so
right.
you know, you're going to have to somehow say, can you call?
Right.
She'll probably never call, but
yeah. Or I mean, you could. I'm sure she's got a cell phone, and her husband knows her number. You mm-hmm. could try calling, but and she says, okay, I'm willing to give it a shot. Do you tell her at that point, okay, you got to get that other guy out of your life?
You got to talk first. And yes,
right.
What she's doing is wrong, okay. regardless
right.
of her reasons. What she's doing is wrong.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So you have to stop doing wrong.
Right. So that's the point I was trying to make, that's our involvement in saying, hey, if you're gonna make this right, here's some things that you need to do. I agree with you 100% that, you know, we can't make people, and it does take the involvement of the Lord, but you're gonna have to give some direction.
Yeah.
And that direction is gonna be, you've got to leave that relationship. You can't have both.
Right.
Right. So you've got to make up your mind, which one do you want? And mm-hmm. that's what we have to determine. If she says, well, I love this other guy, well, if you want to get your husband back, you can't serve two masters. You're going to love the one or hate the other. So choose which one you want. And if she says, hey, I want this other guy, you may have to go to that guy and say, listen, until she has a change of heart that comes from the Lord, and that's what you're saying,
right?
We can't do any more. And you need to get yourself right. You need to get yourself established.
Or is dumped or, you know,
right.
Whatever, you know, finds herself
yeah.
in the slave market, so to speak,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
to where she has no out.
Right.
You know, that sometimes is what may happen.
Right. I have a family member that separated and were separated for 7 years. I think it was 7 years. And in that 7 years, this family member said, I will wait, and if they ever come back, and they tried to help them, they tried to service them, they took care of needs, they paid bills, all of those things. And at the end of those 7 years, that other member divorced and left them. And I thought, for 7 years they waited, I thought, wow, that's incredible. Most people would not do that. And I would commend them, and I've told them how proud I am of them and how courageous and how great that was. And they said, I love them. I can't stop loving them. I made the vow, and I'm going to wait. And like I say, not many people do that. For those that would, God bless you. That's awesome. Awesome. Our time's gone.
Yeah.
It's 20 minutes. Wow. We're going to look at that this week and
let's look at some of these other things. When you see something coming.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's, you know, what's the there's an old saying, you know, hindsight's 20/20, but there's another one. A good defense is, you know, a great offense, something like that. We need to be a little more defensive, maybe, and start helping people when we see things happen. You know, kind of bring the red flags. So, yeah, we'll take a look at that. Wow, this is kind of deep. We don't like the deep stuff. We like the funny, happy stuff. But these are issues that people are dealing with.
Oh,
this is a very real scenario.
Oh yeah.
And my heart breaks that there's a couple out there who are in jeopardy, and that a pastor has to try and deal with that.
So, yeah, family probably.
Family, yeah.
Most
yeah.
likely it is yeah. a family.
Could be, yeah.
You got kids.
Oh.
That's just such a – you've got a church that's grieving, you know.
Yeah. I would tell you this, that I love my kids so much, and there was no way that I was ever going to do I'll see you every other weekend. There's just no way. I told my wife, if we have the worst marriage in the world, we have got to stay together for the sake of our kids. And I meant that. I would live miserable for the sake of my kids if I had to. And by the grace of God, I didn't. So praise the Lord for that. I'm Al Stone. I've dealt with all kinds of situations in my pastorate like this, and too many times. And it's hard. It's hard for the pastor. It's hard for the people going through it. It's devastating for the children. And it's a hard thing for the church. If it's people in the church, it's a hard thing for the church. And so we'll look at some of those things in the days to come.
This is Dan Wolven in Columbus, Ohio. God bless you. Thank you for listening.
This is Tim Talks. We hope you have a great day. We'll be back on Wednesday to deal with some serious stuff, but sometimes you just got to be serious. This is Tim Talks. Have a great day.
You've been listening to Tim Talks, Taking Interest in Ministry, with new podcasts added each Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. To learn more about your hosts, Dr. Al Stone and Pastor Dan Wolven, you can visit us at timtalks.com. That's TIIM talks.com.